we're going to learn some law. And we're going to ask difficult legal questions, which will probably leave me stumped. I mean, law is hard. So it's not, some of this stuff is not always that easy. There are lawyers out there in the land who would not do this for fear that they might not be able to do it quite so quickly. So I'm either very brave or very stupid. And I leave that decision entirely to you, because that's a political opinion. Small is here, and we are all very, very excited because we are getting Biscuit this weekend. I don't know if people followed this story at all, but Judy has had Judy's Belle, who's a dog I'm very close to. So the minute I arrive, if I say something, you know, like people are taking coats or whatever, getting a drink or whatever, my voice is then out. And then a Belle immediately comes and finds me and comes and gives me a hug. So I've always adored Belle. Belle's the one that small person was under the table. We went for lunch at Judy's and small just disappeared. And she was literally under the table with the puppy. But it's a nightmare. But we are looking forward to Biscuit. But I got mugged because I thought, are these seven black lab puppies and four blonde lab puppies? I was told reliably by Jackie, who's the housekeeper, who, you know, she's lovely. And Jackie was like, no, they're all taken. They're all homed. So we went on Tuesday night because they're all going this weekend. And I said, well, we could come this weekend. And they said, well, if you come this weekend, the chances are the vast majority of them will have gone. So we went to play with them on Tuesday night. What a schmuck. And I'm like, they're all taken. They're all gone. That's fine. So Small obviously falls in love with the 11 Labrador puppies and has a fantastic time with them. And they are adorable and cute. I was much more fond of one of the black lab puppies, but Small fell in love with one. And then I realized Small was being encouraged to fall in love with one. So my suspicions were raised. But then it turns out that Judy has very strong views that Bella, our dog, should not be on her own, and that Judy was going to keep one of the puppies. And therefore, Judy has heroically sacrificed this puppy for Small Person so that Bella can have a friend and Small Person can have a puppy just in time for Small's birthday next month. I was played. Yep, Sarah, I was played. I was a schmuck. I walked right into that one, didn't I? Walked right into it, mates. And so Judy has valiantly decided that she'll just keep her two at the moment are Belle, who I'm very, very fond of, and Bill, who's lovely. He's just not, like, I don't really feel bonded to Bill. I mean, I carried him as a puppy and, you know, he's a lovely, lovely dog, but Belle's a bit special. So I asked her if she'd be okay us looking after one of her boys, and she seemed to. Belle's very sweet. So when we were all sitting, the three of us were just at the little table, Belle was falling asleep and she was keeping her eyes open just so that she could keep seeing me for as long as possible. I really am fond of Belle. And she's, I mean, that's it. So she's a mother at one. That's quite a thing. And 11 babies. So she's going to be spayed and there's not going to be puppies again. It was not planned. But yeah. Judy, I've got an email from the microchip company, so that this is real now, and we're going to go on Sunday and pick up Biscuit, which means there'll be loads of pictures of Biscuit on Substack and Twitter and Facebook, because that's what I did when Bella was little. They're just so cute. And I'm going to have to sleep downstairs on the sofa with the puppy, because that's what you have to do. And Bella's going to have to sleep with me because I don't want her cut out from the puppy. I want them to get on. But yeah, basically our life is going to be puppy from now on in. Just expect a lot more. And then Biscuit's going to be a massive Labrador. But I have learned that labs are actually quite easy. And I feel, having trained Bella, and they do say that if you can train a beagle, you can train an elephant. So having trained Bella to at least basic standards really is just only basic. I'm quite quietly confident that Biscuit will be much less bother, even though he'll be like four times the size. Hopefully he'll get on very well with Bella. That's really what we need him to do. In terms of legal stories, still the most important one is that Jonathan Reynolds lied about being a solicitor. He's a minister of the Crown, and this is absolutely shocking. I'm not going to get over it. I'm not going to let it go away. I don't see how it does go away. You know, it's not, it's simply not acceptable. Many young people work intensely to try and become a solicitor, and many of them fail. And that is heartbreaking when that happens. He did not become a solicitor, and he's not entitled to benefit from claims that he is. Actually, I think that's more important. There are the two technical offences are holding yourself out as a solicitor. And I think he can probably weasel out of those because he'll say, well, I wasn't asking anybody to pay me to be a solicitor. I wasn't asking for work. I was just declaring I was one. I think there are other related offences that need to be looked at about getting a benefit from a statement that isn't true. In a proper world, the House of Commons would already be on this. In a proper world, the Electoral Commission would already be on this. We just see two-tier every day now. I mean, it's absolutely unavoidable. Do you remember when they sacked, they demanded Suella was sacked for saying that things were two-tier? I mean, that's the level of madness, absolute madness. He never qualified, Donna. No, he didn't. And many of them fail. So that's not, you know, it's, and but he pulled out in order to go off and be an MP at some ridiculously young age, because that's what we have now, children as MPs. With no obvious skill or ability or understanding of the law, bringing in new laws to have us all killed. I mean, this is really just, the Constitution's in a terrible way, but we're all fighting back because I won't forget to get insurance, but we've got a vet, him, and our vet's very, very good. Bella's already been spayed, so I don't think we'll be having any accidents of Labrador Beagle cross whatever's. What I'll need to do is get him on the plan for the pills that Bella takes for snails and slugs and fleas. Judy's dealing with jabs for everybody, so everybody's going to get a jabbed puppy, so that's all been dealt with. Jackie's been looking after them. She's hilarious because she calls them the little terrors, but she obviously adores all of them. And she literally lets them walk around chewing on her coat, and she pulls them because she knows they like it. And she'll pull a big bunch of them while they're all biting on her coat so that they hold on while she pulls them across the room. Jackie is a total softie. And these little babies have been very well cared for, and Judy is doing all the stuff, and then we will go to our vets ASAP. I've got puppy food in, got puppy toys coming. I mean, this is not my first rodeo. So, you know, we did, I did all of this with Bella. Oh, Sarah, I'm so happy. But you do need a new puppy. I mean, so Judy always says that Boris, who was one of her golden labs, was the dog that she bonded with the most. And when Boris looked on his last legs, and Belle was dying. That's Belle as, just don't worry, there's two Belles. The older, Belle Senior, that's how the Romans used to do it. Judy got very, and wasn't going to have puppies. And it was a very bad idea because the house just got quiet. There's still parties, but sort of quiet. Having puppies around just... We were all supposed to, I can't remember what it was. Was it? I think it was the nativity this year. Judy normally does a nativity where Santa and the angel Gabriel arrived by steam train. Because, you know, why not? And we came because we didn't know it had been cancelled, because we're not on the WhatsApp, the local WhatsApp group, because we don't live in that village. But Judy always assumes that we live in that village, and that we are, therefore we're on the local WhatsApp group. So it was actually cancelled, but we went along anyway. A number of people went along anyway, and we all had an impromptu party in the house. And basically we spent the entire evening watching all the dogs, because loads of dogs had just been brought, and there was just a house all full of dogs. They fill a house with life. They really do. I mean, I'm naturally a cat person, but even I would concede that dogs do fill a house with just... life and excitement. Right, we're supposed to be answering questions on the law. Right. Alan, who is new to the group. So, hello, Alan. And we've had lots of new joiners, and we're nearly at 2,000 subscribers, so that is great. And a huge thank you to all the paid subscribers. You keep the place going. You are the backbone. You can feel smug. You are the best. Alan, Magna Carta was written into history, our right to a fair trial. Can we not take the government to task over their very obviously ignoring this right, Stephen? I don't know which one you mean. We generally do try and uphold the right to a fair trial. It's also in the European Convention on Human Rights. So I just, Alan, could you be more specific? And then I'll deal with that, whatever the specific one is. I also want people to request articles because that's been very helpful. So feel free to put in an article request if that would be easier, or I can do it again by a live Substack. Also, on Magna Carta, I deal with it in episode one and episode two of your Constitution podcast, because there isn't much of it left, which is why it's mainly an American thing to get very dewy-eyed about Magna Carta. We repealed most of it. It's not our most important constitutional document. The most important constitutional document in my mind is the 1688 Bill of Rights. But I explain all this in the podcast on the Your Constitution, Alan. So if you've got time, and that's free, so if you've got time, that would be what I'd recommend as a starting point. I'm being interviewed by some huge YouTube celebrity on Monday, and he very kindly said he's going to spend the weekend, Peter McCormack, he's going to spend the weekend going through that podcast, just so that he feels able to ask me questions about the Constitution. I love the Constitution and very happy to talk about it. Feel free to ask more questions, Alan. Welcome to the community of lovelies. Dave, who I think is also new. If and when the King declares that he is a Muslim, would this prejudice his standing under any law of this country, as our protector to whom allegiance is sworn? Yes, it would prejudice the Act of Settlement, 1700. So we have laws relating to the monarch. The monarch is not some all-powerful tyrant. In fact, our monarch has almost no powers and is could argue that they are much more a sort of prisoner of the state. We treat them very finely, so they can't complain. But no, a king cannot be a Muslim, because a king must show, or queen, must show a due regard to the Church of England. We softened it, and that they don't have to be religious. They could privately be an atheist, but they wouldn't be allowed to say that. They'd have to publicly support the Church of England, which I'm honestly not sure that the current king is doing. So I didn't see any tweets or public statements about Shrove Tuesday or Ash Wednesday, which is a very serious, solemn Christian ceremony, Church of England ceremony, and, you know, crickets. So we'll stay on this one with the king. I'm more than happy to tell him off when he goes out of line. I do see that as my role in public life. It doesn't make me terribly popular. I'll almost certainly not get a knighthood, but it doesn't matter. As long as I've got dogs and the Substack's lovely, I'll be fine. Dave goes on, also, under law, can we petition the king for a pardon for those jailed for political acts? Yes, you can. And the right to petition really needs to be brought back. We've talked about it a few times. Parliament's currently got its petition system. I think that there are rights outside that. There is a definite right in the Bill of Rights to petition the king. So I think we need to start revitalising these old and dusty parts of the Constitution. There was a great feeling from the 90s on amongst constitutional lawyers and public lawyers that all that stuff was just old-fashioned, like the Act of Settlement 1700, or the, you know, even the Bill of Rights. It's just old-fashioned. We don't need to talk about that anymore, because we've got our new snazzy EU-style system. Well, we don't have a new snazzy EU-style system anymore, for good or ill, and I'm totally neutral on Brexit. For goodness sake, it was like 9 years ago. It can't be the shaping force in anyone's life, surely. Unfortunately, they've sort of hit a brick wall, and it leaves people like me to fill the gaps and say, well, actually, the Act of Settlement's still in force, Your Majesty. Actually, the Bill of Rights is still in force. So these are binding laws, and you can't just say, oh, but they're a bit old. It's like, still in force, still law. There is a right to petition the king, and I think people might consider revitalising that. Thank you in anticipation. Oh, Dave, I think you're new as well, but you're a natural fit with the lovelies. Keep the faith. Smiley emoji. I expect you swore allegiance like a few of us to his mum. I cannot wait for the day that somebody whispers quietly when I'm in a room and says something like, you know, he was born in the last century and still gets dewy-eyed when they mention the late queen. I do. I get very emotional about the queen. I always, I mean, I used to stand for the Queen's speech. That's all of it. And I would make small stand, and I would make my father stand. Sometimes he would fight back. But I'm sure that in the space of the lovelies, we all feel the same about that. Sue, good evening, Stephen. Good evening, Sue. They appear to be using immigration laws against this Palestinian government who entered the country illegally. Yes, that's hilarious, isn't it? Totes hilarious. When can these laws be used? All the time on all of them. Arrest them all. Why is it only being used for this male? Because they clearly haven't got a clue what they're doing. They're clearly just trying to manage the situation. And this is just so obviously... Gad Saad has this phrase called suicidal empathy. We've started doing things which are absolutely bonkers. Just bonkers, just not in our best interest at all, because we see them as sensible. And we see, you know, anybody who says anything against these is obviously right wing. And it's like, this is just mad. It's mad. So, Sue, I'm afraid the mask slipped when they arrested one. If they arrest one, they can arrest them all. And it's that simple. Hillary. And everybody will be glad to know that Hillary has done a Hillary. Because it would be awful if Hillary hadn't done a Hillary. In fact, Hillary's actually done a cheeky Hillary, because Hillary's done an obvious Hillary by putting question one and question two. And then question three, I notice Hillary does not have a Q3 next to it. So it's like, we're just trying to sneak that one in, Hillary. Is that what we're doing? I'll start with her. Hello, dear Stephen. Hillary is a long-standing lovely, which is why she can be teased. This week, I shall mostly be asking... The definition of terrorism will not be changed. Do you support the findings of the review? And is it just me that thinks it looks like yet another cover-up by the government for the government and their KC? Yeah, because I really don't. I think that the current test of terrorism is met. So I don't really go into this nonsense that, oh, he doesn't meet the technical test for terrorism, therefore we're going to need a new test for terrorism. Oh, dear, we're not going to make a new test for terrorism. No, I really don't buy any of that. Terrorism should really be, you know, pared back to its absolute basics. It's an act of violence for political reasons. And I don't see the point in defining it any other way, because once you can define it simply, you'll be able to apply it much to a much broader base of circumstances and situations. And you fight and combat political violence, which is getting out of hand. And one of the reasons that we need to fight and combat political violence and make sure it doesn't get out of hand is that if it gets completely out of hand, the state collapses. And none of us want the state to collapse. So man up, have a simplified definition, and actually enforce things. Hillary's question two. The speaker has come under fire recently. Well, not in the least, Hillary, from me. For some rather large expenses with luxury trips. I know, it's a disgrace. Why is he not answerable for this? He is, but you need to get politicians to demand answers. And at the moment, they're doing that whole thing in the House of Commons where they don't want to upset him. I talk to ministers and shadow ministers who say things like, yes, I mean, I know that's outrageous, but I know them personally. It's like, I don't care. If any of my friends behave outrageously, I will tell them. If it's necessary to say so publicly, it will be said publicly. That's what you need in order to have a properly functioning country. You know, this whole, oh, we can't possibly criticise the speaker for the outrageous things the speaker has done. No. He is answerable, Hillary. And why is it that nobody is allowed to stand against him in his constituency? I actually think that's not a law. That's a polite parliamentary convention. And I saw yesterday that Reform are going to stand against him. Well, that was the obvious implication. They've been canvassing in his seat. Now, that may just be for the local elections, but if they stand a candidate against him, then and everybody goes, they can't do that, then I will say, yes, you can. And they absolutely, you can stand candidates against him. By convention, by politeness, we do not stand a candidate against the speaker. But that system was always voluntary and it can always change. And if you get a bad speaker, how else are you going to get rid of them? You can't just go, oh, we can't stand the candidates against the speaker because they're the speaker. Yes, but just imagine a much worse speaker than this. You know, a speaker who was openly murdering babies. You'd be like, I think we'll stand the candidates against this guy. So it's one of the mechanisms for making things accountable. It's one of the reasons I always tease Peter Hennessy, who's a constitutional historian, because he gets very sad and dewy-eyed about what he calls the good chap constitution. And it's like, well, actually, you need the good chapness. You can get trapped in it. It can be a rod for your own back. The good chap wouldn't stand against the speaker. No, but if you've got an awful speaker, then you don't need a good chap. You need a tough chap who's going to deal with him. You know, different times called for different levels of things. Sometimes peaceful times call for good chaps. Difficult times call for tough men. Also, what the heck are we doing with Islamic Mufti taking the helm of Ofsted for a temporary period? He's already on board of Ofsted. There's no way the man is keeping his religion out of education. We walking eyes wide open to Islamification of the country. Hillary, that is a question. That is a question. Question. I don't know much about him, but I think we should be looking again at making sure that whilst all faiths are taught, they are all taught equally and all are given due regard. There are laws against politicizing education, which I'd rather we enforced than we got terribly worried about somebody doing a job for 5 months. But at the same time, I can understand why people don't necessarily want religious leaders in senior positions in education. Unless, of course, for religious schools, but that's a choice that parents make. And that's not, and Ofsted has to be for everybody. Ali very cheekily asks, aha, is Nigel the problem? Ali, that is not a legal question. You're trying to drag me into politics. I have tried to stay out of this because I don't think I have a place. As a lawyer, I don't think there's a place. I'm going to come back to reform if you'll forgive me, Ali. So I will answer a bit of the question. But is Nigel the problem? I mean, that's just not for me. This is for you and how all things go. What I would say is that I would like some sort of peace to break out widely across the political spectrum, because there's no point one side taking chunks out of itself all the time whilst the other side is completely incompetent. And that just leaves nobody to look after the country. That's a bit like, you know, one of the parents becoming a heroin addict while the other one decides to you know, go and party all night and sing karaoke. You know, nobody's looking after the kids. Who's going to look after the country is a much more important question than personal egos of individuals. I will go that far. The lovely and glamorous Petronella. Hi, Stephen. A question for Friday, please. I see this bill is on its second committee stage reading. To me, it's rather infringing on every aspect of our lives. It's really scary. What do you think? It's the data use and access bill. And it's about access to your data. The bill will make provision about access to customer data and business data. It's a really bad idea, but it's if you've got a Tesco club card or a Marks smart card, whatever they're called, I've got a Waitrose card. I don't use it, obviously. But then you're part of the problem because you're buying into the system. And I know Morrison's is really ramping it up. They're like, join our spying syndicate and you'll get free food. And it's like, no, this is really bad. We need to, at some point, stop, push back against this. What's happening is that if you create systems dependent upon alleged independent experts keeping you all safe at night, you will gradually become unsafe at night because those experts will become flabby, fat and lazy. They have no genuine interest in doing their job. That's the information question. So we aren't really protecting people's data, and things have got absolutely worse ever since we created the GDPR regulatory framework. And I now get spammed by companies I haven't heard from for like 20 years. If anybody remembers my cat Freya, I used to order online from a German pet food company. This is decades ago, and they've now restarted spamming me because, you know, GDPR is basically collapsing and the regulatory system is basically collapsing. I don't really understand what our leadership and elite corporate and political elite think they're going to achieve with all this data. I personally randomly throw spanners into the works by claiming to be an age that I'm not, or, you know, claiming to live somewhere I don't live, because I don't see what obligation I have to provide truthful information. And I don't want to be smart spied on. I don't want a smart meter, and I haven't got one. We are going to have to, at some point, push back against all this. So what I will do, because it's you, Petronella, is I will look at the bill and think if I can do a long-form article on it to set it out more clearly. And then I'll try and track down one of the I find personally, just so you know, now I want everybody engaging with their MP. That is hugely important. So what Hillary does, what Denise does, these are hugely important things we must do. That's absolutely right. Every Monday we must do that. For new people, that means what we're talking about is you find some friends locally in the constituency and then try and meet your MP. If you can't meet your MP, write en masse to your MP and say, we're all concerned about this. It will scare your MP. Groups of voters scare MPs. That's how it should be. That's a good functioning part of the constitution. But groups of voters scare MPs. So get on to your MPs. What I do often is try and find a good member of the House of Lords who will be useful. So I'll have a look at this bill and then I might try and find one of the nice members of the House of Lords who'll actually, you know, make a fuss about this. But we can't be spied on forever. It's part of the infantilization. It's part of treating us all like children. It's part of this corporate socialist state that we're living in. It's like all socialisms, it will fail. So it's just doomed. But it will believe it's terribly clever. And for you, Petronella, I shall look into it. Catmint, mine's more of a comment this week. Okay. I see the Honourable Mr. Justice Goose, our hero, he is, for 'tis him. Be more goose is what we should say to every judge. Was part of overturning the Sara Sharif appeal, was he? Actually, I didn't see that. I saw it was the Lady Chief Justice, and I, to her credit, because I sometimes have to, I'm probably going to have to tell, she's doing a speech on the 20th. She's almost certainly going to step over the line and say something political, and I'm almost certainly going to have to tell her off. But I was terribly proud of her for this. Catman says, hip hip hooray for another win for justice and sensible law. It was. And let's not forget that what happened to Sara Sharif was absolutely sick. And if I could, you know, if I could protect that little girl somehow, I mean, I know we all would. That's what we do. And, you know, the horrors that happened to her. Good. I hope they never get out. Absolutely disgraceful. Right. Jane, I wonder about the differences in the way the political parties are set up. So this is it. We're coming back, Ali, to the reform. Reform is a limited company with two directors, Nigel Farage and Zia Yusuf. Although members pay £25 a year, it seems they have no rights except to cancel membership. How does this differ from other political parties? I can see why Nigel has done it, but it's not democratic. Comment. It's not democratic. So if Nigel were here, I could say that. That's not an insult. I'm not being rude to you. That's not democratic. That said, sometimes you might want non-democratic models. Nigel has a lot of experience of startup political parties in a way that most of us don't. So it's quite, in Nigel's defense, I'd highlight that he clearly has thought this through. He clearly has been through lots of teething troubles in UKIP and then Brexit Party. So when he came to set up reform, I don't think he did it like an amateur. So I'm not sure that all of this control is necessarily bad. I'm sure he can justify it. What he shouldn't do and what nobody should do is sort of promise to democratize and then not democratize, because that's just very disappointing. That would be a very disappointing scenario. If he wants to democratize, you know, many of us can help. I wouldn't actually say that the democratic constitutions of the parties who are democratic are working necessarily well. The Labour constitution is unbelievably slow, grindy and messy, and has, I think, now basically been supplanted by the Leader's Office. So I think it is largely for show. The Conservative constitution is very badly written, very unclear, and therefore deeply open to subjectiveness, and I'm not convinced it's being applied consistently. This is an area of law I work in, and there are legal challenges ongoing. The most recent one was to the Lib Dems. The courts don't want to go anywhere near this, but they might yet, they're going to end up dragged in because they basically have to now. I wish we could go back to political parties just being private members' clubs, and then the court saying, well, we don't regulate private members' clubs, and then you wouldn't have any of these arguments and fights and bother. You would control things through a political process. And this is a message we keep returning back to. It's this idea that you can turn everything into law, run it like it's a legal system, and it will be perfect, is not true. Politics is a superior system because it forces us to get involved. It forces people to grow up. forces Hillary and Denise to go and talk to their MPs. It forces us all to go and talk to our MPs. That's the system we are fighting for. If you believe in democracy, you will get involved in democracy. And I was talking to somebody recently about becoming a justice of the peace. And I really was persuading them to do it. Absolutely do it. Of course, become a magistrate. Of course you would. Of course you serve. Of course you volunteer. We must all get back to volunteering. It wasn't an accident that our constitution was framed this way. When all this came about, we were the richest we'd ever been. So if we'd wanted to, we could have paid servants to do it all for us, which is effectively what so-called experts are. I mean, you know, if you call somebody an expert in something, it's a flattering way of telling them that please do this job for money. I mean, they don't do it for free, do they? So, and any job is a job. That's, you know, if it was pleasant, they wouldn't have to pay you. So when we were at our richest, we decided that we would be structured as a voluntary state. And that's a really important message to take away. And Tony Blair's idea that the experts will do it all for you is clearly fraud. It's just not true. It's not proven right. We must go back to volunteering. Right. I'm going to have a quick look and see. You've all been chatting. I love the way everybody chats in the chat because I basically can't see it because it's like this tiny little thing. I squint like an old man. Yeah. I can take a look at reform, but I mean, I don't want to because I don't necessarily want to get too involved. I think my role is really to stay in the law. Kate, that is the most hilarious. Kate got a smart meter because she doesn't like the spiders in the meter cupboard, which actually, I mean, that is actually the only good reason, Kate. That's hilarious. Denise and Alan. That's Alan. I hope you think I wasn't rude about your question. Everybody's worried about Sarah Sheev. Of course you are. Baroness Claire Fox. I know. I can always ask her. She's really good on free speech. So is Toby Young, though. Got Toby in the house now. Helpful at the moment to help support the GP surgery from closing. Well, that's good, Sarah. I tweeted about this, but I'm on a parish council where we don't affiliate. And I've been friendly with this guy for years because he's really good and he loves the area. And it was his last parish council last night. And I reached over and shook his hands and congratulations. And we all clapped him. It was lovely. And he just said, you know, I'm Labour. And it's just like, I don't care. You're really good for the place. You're a good man. And he would have carried on doing it, but his eyes have gone and he can't drive at night and council meetings are, you know, 7:30. So just a good man. Yeah, good, sorry. You know, there's nothing wrong. A Labour MP can do something good. And lots of them can. In fact, one of them voted against the farm tax. Hero. We need Labour MPs to find... If Labour MPs found a spine, the constitution would reassert itself. No one actually likes the bollard. You can't be a Labour MP and genuinely think that the bollard is competent. You can't genuinely believe the Chancellor knows what she's doing. You cannot genuinely believe that Ed Miliband is not a joke. I challenge anybody to straight-faced say that they genuinely believed all these things. I don't. Angela Rayner could do it because she's a very talented politician, but she wouldn't mean it. New smart meter for Catmint. Agree. Yeah, and this is why I'm going to stay neutral on reform. There's no point. There's no benefit Stephen wading in and mouthing off. I do the law. 29th. House is acting like a cabal. The house is just not. It's dysfunctional. The Bill Committee for the Assisted Dying Bill is really breaking my heart. They just vote everything through like robots and they don't listen to questions. In praise of Labour MPs, Naz Shah is actually coming up really well. She's amazing. She's really redeemed herself in my eyes. But they don't care. They voted all through anyway. They just want to be able to have the power to kill us all en masse with the minimum possible safeguards. It's a total joke. It's heartbreaking. Yeah, a good MP is a good MP, Hillary. Does anybody have a last question before I go down and make Smalls tea? You wouldn't be a hopeless JP. No, Denise. But we all do all have different talents. One of the things I'm always very, I'm always happy to admit is that I can't drive. I just can't. I don't think I'll ever have the ability. I don't think I ever have the ability. But it doesn't matter. We've all got different talents. We can all do some things really well and not do other things. That's why we all live together. We all support each other. Are we all watching Meyer, are we? I'm going to do some event with him. He was on about that today. He's got some thing. Does the thing. Stephen Beeblevake. He wasn't. I thought there was a picture. I looked at it. I don't know what I'm doing. I never know, what I'm doing. Started to drive at 50, Sally. Wow, okay. That's pretty impressive. Anybody got a last question? Denise, you are young. Judy's 18. She's trying to pretend to be old, and I won't let her do that anyway. So I'm definitely not letting a 70-year-old pretend to be old. That's not on. Once you get to 96, I think you're allowed to pretend to be old, but... really, until you get the card, I don't think you can claim it. Can't see a question. Can't see a question. So I'm going to go and make the small person a tea. And, oh, Marie, that's nice. Right. Okay. Bye. Yes, okay. I don't look like a rock star, David. I look like a middle-aged man who grew his hair to please his child. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. Bye!